Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, we got the news. We got all balls, all sports coming up. And first, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Warning, new phishing scam masquerades as a billing error, and it's an alert from Netflix, pushing victims to update their payment details within 24 hours or their subscription will be voided. So people are scared, and they give them their information. The link even redirects to a very real-looking CAPTCHA form. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If you become a victim of identity theft, you have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. It's 2020, people. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Knowing it prevents all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So if you're listening to this anywhere between San Diego and the Canadian border, there's a very good chance that the sky is smoky and ashy and you can at least smell the wildfires from wherever you are. We have some footage for you if you haven't seen this yet. It is just burning up and down the coast of California, Oregon. Just to give you some numbers, let's see here. Oh, the Creek Fire, that's a big one near the Sierra Nevada Mountains, among the worst right now, burning 167,000 acres and no containment. This, what I'm showing you right now, you may have seen it. It's drone shots of San Francisco during the day.
Oh, people
are posting these everywhere. They said, if you don't believe in Armageddon or the apocalypse before, check out what I'm looking at through my window. People have their car lights on. Yeah. You can't see.
It looks like there's some sepia tone filter on your camera.
Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. Well, funny you should say that, Brian, because that's exactly what this is. Somebody did the drone shot and put the Blade Runner music under it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Clever.
It seems like all we do is we go, we got to cut down on carbon emissions and greenhouse gases and blah, blah, blah. And we got to, what we're coming out of the tailpipe, or we need power plants that run off of, we need to produce power with wind and solar and whatever. And then every year there's just a huge fire and we just belch all this stuff into the sky. And it seems like, I don't know, does that undo all that we're trying to do? How does this work? I mean, how much more shit could get into the air than now?
Fires are more of a cause of climate change than they are an effect of it.
How's that work?
The amount of harmful gases that are released into the atmosphere right now, it's like 10 years of traffic in LA.
Right. So shouldn't we be focusing on the...
So we should be focusing on the fires and forest maintenance.
Some of these fires are still undetermined why. Of course, we all know the gender reveal party is the reason for the... I think it's the Yucaipa El Dorado fire. Somebody, you know, we talked about it. It was an explosion to see if it was blue or pink. And turns out it was a 1,000 dead deer and multiple structures. We still don't know if it's a boy or girl. Another fire recently was one homeless person setting another homeless person's encampment on fire because he was mad at him. A lot of them seem to be that we're living in places.
You can
in the
spare
forest.
Us. You can spare us the because he was mad at him part of the story.
just someone, assume
someone lights your tent on fire. They're usually disgruntled. Yeah. Now.
And also, we're
not even a stern warning. I'd say we're pretty much past that. We're
no,
into
right.
hates you.
We're a lot of communities, bedroom communities, are being built in forested areas that didn't have, human error and people there living there 50 years ago. A lot of the brush hasn't burned in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of stuff.
I don't know what our plan is, but I feel like we need a plan.
The plan is to keep renting Super Scoopers from Canada and hoping for the best.
Isn't there a way to manage the fort? I always hear there's a way to manage it. And then I hear, no, you can't do that. That's bad for the environment or bad for the forest. But I feel like we need some comprehensive plan. Is there places that do it and they manage it and then we just
funny.
Do what they do?
All
it's
of Canada?
Funny because,
all of
well,
Canada?
And ironically, the fire departments, depending where, they do controlled burns. You do them yourself, so you are in control of the burn area. But and I've learned this since working at the news station, if the fire goes uphill, it goes much faster because it's heating up the ground right in front of it, and it just rips through. And these places haven't burned in decades, so anything is just now. We have a little bit of a marine layer, which is helping a lot, whatever. But this whole state and half of Oregon is literally on fire. I mean, you could look at any fire map, Google it, and it's everywhere.
How are you guys reacting to the air? So I was with Dr. Drew for quite some time today, and Dr. Drew is wired like a French piano. He just very... I'm wired like an old refrigerator. Like I just plug me in, I'll just keep running. It's fine.
Lead.
Yeah, this whatever. A couple kids are going to get locked in me and die every year. But Drew is so sensitive. Like he'll come in, he'll be like coughing, and his eyes will hurt and stuff like that. He's generally we had this interesting discussion about. It. He just has a delicate wiring. Whatever. If there's a medication, a sleeping medication, he has to break it into a quarter. He has to take the pill and bust it into a quarter because if he takes the whole pill, he'll pass out where he's standing, And he's just everything is very delicate and he's very sensitive. So I have no effect. It doesn't do anything to me, but it does a lot to Dr. Drew. And then I guess it does something to everybody sort of in between. Does it affect your throat, your eyes, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
It's thick outside. I mean, you can see it.
Bad.
You can smell it.
I have asthma, and since that mold and shit from that horrible place I lived 2 years ago, it really fucked up my lungs, and I guess it gave me cadmium poisoning, according to the doctor. So from someone who has a medical degree maybe can explain it to me better, but the way I understand it is now I'm like allergic to smoke. So if somebody smokes around me or if I take a drag of a cigarette or something, I can't get it out. It just sits in there, and that's when I just start feeling like feverish and shit.
It's thick out there. You can see it and you can smell it. It doesn't bother me per se, but I wouldn't go for a jog. That's for goddamn sure.
No.
Christy's the French piano. Like, if there's any change in the air anytime, she'll claim she can notice it and feel it. I have not one iota of reaction to the air, extreme or otherwise, until I go outside and I can smell. Like if it smells like someone barbecuing, I'll notice that. Otherwise, not one fraction of a reaction.
It's interesting, the hypervigilance I have.
Other things wrong with me.
Oh, really?
You can smell. You know, the thing about hypervigilance is they're always talking about sight and hearing, but it's scent too. It's you're sensitive to everything is ramped up, and it's funny because Natalia has that. I had to put the door sweep under her door so the hall light wouldn't go in there. Oh yeah, I fucking made her door sweep. Now the thing that's interesting is she'll say like, oh, let's go to the beach, and I'll go okay, and she'll go drive mom's car, and I'll go why? I'll drive my car, and she'll go, your car smells like coffee. And I do drink coffee when I drive into work, but I don't spill coffee when I drive into work. I just drink coffee.
Essence of coffee.
When I drive into work. I don't do a lot of coffee drinking in my car, but in the morning, I have a cup of coffee as I drive into work. It's not in a commuter thing. It's just in a coffee mug. So it's open. This will be a Saturday or Sunday. It's not like I drank coffee in the car within 24 hours. She's decided that my car smells like coffee. I don't know why she didn't like coffee.
I was going to say, she finds the smell of coffee displeasurable?
She...
Everyone loves the smell of coffee.
Maybe it's overpowering to her. Maybe she really smells it. She has dog nose.
I will tell you, when you are hypervigilant, you notice everything and everything bugs you. So it's not, sometimes it's not a choice like, oh, this smells good and this smells bad. I mean, you get a little bit older, you can figure out the difference between hobo ass and jasmine, I suppose. But I mean, she's literally, the fact that she smells something bugs her.
Does she have a problem with people eating and chewing?
Yes.
That usually goes hand in hand.
So he's telling Sonny to shut your mouth. You're chewing, you're talking, you get your mouth open when you're chewing. She's telling me to shut my mouth all the time. Like, all that stuff, and it makes you detail oriented. You notice everything. You know, it can be used for good. She, of course, chooses to use it for evil, but it can be used for good. But that hypervigilance, man, it's all encompassing, and you just notice everything. And it, for the most part, everything bothers you. But on the other hand, you know, you can write some books and make some money if you want to try to turn it in a slightly different direction.
Is she becoming super organized, or doesn't really spill over to like cleanliness and like the room has to look a certain way? Or
I'm thinking about that. No, and it doesn't really manifest itself with me in being very sort of anal and organized. I like stuff organized, but if you walked into my office right now, it would look kind of like a mess. So it doesn't have that. I'm trying to think what the syndrome we're talking about is, where you're just walking around cleaning everything all the time, and you know,
OCD.
Yeah, OCD. It's not OCD. It feels OCD, but it doesn't manifest OCD. You don't have rituals, you know, you don't have to do, you just notice everything, but you don't have to walk around the street light twice, otherwise you're going to get hit by a car, and you don't need everything, you know, oh, I can't have the black socks and the white socks in the same drawer, you know, there's almost none of that. It's sort of the opposite of OCD. You're so insanely pragmatic that everything bothers you. Yeah. Everything that's not done efficiently or for the, it's like,
Fun for Sonny and Lynette.
It's good. It's why I'm driven insane by the electronic street signs that are above the freeway. Like, I can't believe we're wasting all this real estate on nothing. It's driving me nuts. Like, why does it drive me nuts? Because it's an insane waste to me. And meanwhile, we live in a town where no one uses their turn signal, and we could easily get them to do it if we made a campaign and put it on that sign of using your turn. What would be an easier campaign to achieve? It's not like you'd have to go, well, I got to go to the True Value hardware store and buy some sort of turning signal conversion kit for my car, because my car, every single car manufactured has a signal. 40% and 70% of the people in this town don't fucking use their turn signal. Wouldn't it be a super easy proposition to make it a campaign, put it up on all those signs, and get them to use their turn signal?
Anyway.
They have the sign anyway, right. So then I see click it or ticket, or the force may be with you, but not the CHP if you're going to drive drunk or whatever it is, and then I get angry. Sorry, go ahead.
I am so glad you brought that up, because I have somebody that you could talk to. Granted, he's in Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm saving this for just such an occasion. NBC 15 in Madison, Wisconsin has posted a feature about a man whose job is the elusive sign on the freeway.
Really?
And I want to tell you a little bit about him. It's a feature of this guy named John Ryman, whose job it is to create punchy freeway signs to get drivers to slow down.
Punchy.
His title is the communication manager with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. He says the most fun part of his job is coming up with the slogans like hocus pocus, drive with focus, and that's the temperature, not the speed limit. It says, though Ryman says he considers himself a creative person, he does get help from a creative team he calls the Creative Traffic Safety Message Committee. He says, the driving force behind each message is to eliminate accidents. Another one of Ryman's favorites is Baby Yoda always rides in a car seat. Be safe, he will. So that's who you're dealing with.
First off, all you have to do to put on those signs, if you want to just generally slow people down, you don't have to get cute and wordy. You just write, is that a cop? That's all. Mm-hmm. Every time you pass by, you go, is that a cop? It just reminds you that there's a cop. Is that a cop? Is that guy behind me a cop? Like with the headlights on at night, is that a cop? Is that a cop parked down there on the shoulder? Like, you just put, is that a cop? And that's all you need. You don't need to get into Star Wars or anything. It just goes, is that a cop?
Do you remember your other idea? Have you exercised today?
Stop blaming your parents.
Yeah. Stop blaming your parents.
It's a personal one. Use a signal, or have you exercised today, or after you, or let's be polite, or something. Just anything. I don't know, this weird, also a bizarre obsession with speeding. You know what I mean? I'm saying an obsession. You know what I mean? Like everyone I know drives on an open highway. Every human being I know, including myself, drives between, you drive about 10%, 10 to 15% faster than the posted speed limit. 15%, let's say. You know, if it's 65, you drive at 75. You know, that's kind of the norm. That's every human being I've ever met. I don't know people that drive 140 miles an hour when it's 65. People drive just at the edge of, if they spot a cop, if they lift, can they not get a ticket? You know what I mean? There's that Mason-Dixon line of, you can go above the speed limit, but you can't go that much above the speed limit. And about 10 or 15%, whatever's posted, if the street says 35, then you drive at 42. You know, it's just a kind of an algorithm there. I don't know anyone who's an excessive speeder. And if, in fact, you are an excessive speeder and you do see these guys every once in a while, you're driving home at night and the guy's going on the full bonsai run in the Corvette, the sign is not going to dissuade the guy who wants to go 160 in his C7R Corvette.
No. Lifestyle. And to that point, if one is speeding, we'll say going 20, 30 miles over the speed limit. Anecdotally, I can say when I'm speeding, I am hyper focused on driving. You know, if you're kind of meandering, you might be looking around. If I'm speeding, driving is the only thing on my mind.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
I'm not distracted.
When you take a look, like if you were going to say to aliens, come study our culture, and then we would interview the aliens and go, what are your takeaways? They'd go, they're obsessed with speeding, secondhand smoke, and having discussions about race. That would be what the alien would say. This is really where this is what they're really obsessed with. Although nothing ever really changes. It's just talk of speed. Slow it down. Just slow it down. I feel like people have gotten the message, right? Anyone who lives in SoCal, CHP's everywhere, you want to drive 90 miles an hour everywhere, you're not going to make it. I mean, here's the dealio. If you get into your car in Pasadena, California, and you announce, I'm going to go to Ventura County and I shall average 90 miles an hour, you're not going to make it. You're going to get a ticket. It's impossible. You can't get in your car and go, I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to average 90 miles an hour. No, you will not. I'm going to hop on the grapevine. I'm going to average 90 miles. No, you will not. You will not make it without getting a ticket. It's understood. Everyone's been there. Got it. Moving on. Let's go on to fucking turn signaling, please. All right. Let me hit BetterHelp here. BetterHelp, online licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, anxiety, relationships, sleep, anger, self-esteem, and more. Connect with your counselor in a safe, private, online environment. Anything shared is confidential, of course. Simply fill out the questionnaire to assess your needs. Get matched up in under 48 hours. easy to schedule and secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages. If for any reason you are unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time, no charge. Join the over 1 million people using BetterHelp. In fact, so many are using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Well, it makes sense. Everyone's at home and everyone needs to work their problems out. So why not use BetterHelp, right, Dawson?
BetterHelp is a truly affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code Corolla. So why not get started today? Go to BetterHelp.com/Corolla. That's BetterHelp.com/CAROLLA. Talk to a therapist and get online help.
What do you got, Gina Grad?
Well, there's all kinds of COVID-19 stuff in the news. There's no shortage of that. And we pretty much know everything about everything at this point. But I bet you didn't know this. The race for a coronavirus vaccine to help the pandemic has consumed science, you know, the communities all over. But there's a demand for something, an essential resource that there's a major shortage of right now because everybody is trying to work on this around the world at the same time. Any guesses as to what is in short supply so they can get this vaccine figured out?
Hugs?
No, but you're not I as feel, far away as you
I
could
feel
be.
Like that is, we are at a deficit of hugs. Yeah. People
is
need
equipment wise, like hypodermic needles?
Nope.
People need hugs.
It's hugs.
Because of where we're at, you know,
that's right.
People were meant to hug.
Yeah,
that's why we have
a shortage of hugs.
Two arms and not one arm or three arm or an odd number of arms for hugging.
No,
arms are for hugging. It's been so long since we've hugged. Gina, when have we hugged last?
Oh, God, months at least.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to guess hugs, which are shortest of supply.
Okay.
Is it a shortage of volunteers or people who've had COVID?
Close.
I thought it was going to be like nickel cadmium or something. Like I thought it was going to be some heavy metal or something that they all needed to use to make a vaccine.
But I'll tell you what's in short supply right now for vaccine testing: monkeys.
Mm.
So before drug companies call on human volunteers, monkeys are used in preclinical trials to test a vaccine's safety. But with more than 100 vaccines in development at the same time, there aren't enough monkeys to go around.
Ooh, wait a minute. Remember disgraced monkey handler Bobby Barasino?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this is his time to reclaim his name.
What happened to all those monkeys? They're at Hef's place.
Yeah.
Oh, the little spider monkeys.
Yeah.
Oh.
They have a cage there, yeah.
Here's the deal. Non-human primate research centers have been strained in recent years because of restrictions on imported monkeys from China and India and lack of funding to support domestic breeding, according to USA Today. And, of course, animal rights activists condemn using primates in experiments anyway. Researchers say it's essential for development of medical science. There's nothing we can do.
But Pam Anderson says no.
She says take me as a tribute. So the small number of animals necessary to do this is slowing things down.
This does shine a light on all these nut jobs. We're like, we don't use my, you can't use my. Yeah, I know. We're in the middle of a pandemic, bitch. What do you want to do? Like, what's the plan?
We're trying to save humans.
Sorry.
And this always makes me think of like the.
By the way, you don't think monkeys would test shit on us?
Oh,
I've seen Donald Planet of the Apes.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I saw that
doc. You know what
they're capable
of. Yes. That doc?
Well, I mean, that's how it would go.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about like, we really haven't improved the toaster, really, we're still using the same stuff. It's kind of the same with monkeys because my mom's dad was a very, very famous in his field, very well-respected pathologist, scientist. And we'd go there, you know, and the basement was full of microscopes and magnifying glasses and stuff. And it was really exciting. But when my mom was little, she used to go with him to the lab. And one of the famous stories in our family was my grandfather stepped out to get something from another room and the gorilla or some huge monkey was in a cage there and slowly it pulled his hand out to grab her ponytail to like slam her against the bar. Mm. And my grandfather ran in at the nick of time and saved her. So this is what they do. Do we love it? Do we wish there was another way? Of course. But this has been going on because our DNA is similar. Mice, same thing.
Your family had some winners in it, Gina.
I know.
And something happened. I feel like you were on a roll at some point.
We were. He was brilliant and famous, and look at us. Look
Gina
at
was going to be the next great Japanese stage actor.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I should be doing Suzuki work in Tokyo right now.
Yeah, I feel like Brian and my family are a little more consistent in the loser department, but you guys had some spikes in there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Photographic memory, I got none. I got none of it.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's like I told Dr. Drew all those years ago, and it's true. I said, look, I used to tell Drew when we did Loveline, I was like, you know, your kids are going to be living in a much smaller house than they grew up in. And he's like, I don't think he really knew what I was talking about, but I was like, my entire life and for every generation that sort of came before, it was sort of like, I grew up in a 900 square foot house. Of course, my first apartment was as big as the house I grew up in, you know, and I now live in a much better place than I grew up in. But there's a very good chance Dr. Drew's three kids are not going to live. It's not all about square footage, but they're not going to live in a place that's as big or as expensive or as nice as he grew up in. And you're not going to be as smart as your grandpa. Next story.
But adjusting for where you live, I too could get a split level ranch in Kansas right now.
That's true.
But not here. Well, not get a split level ranch in the valley.
That's what I was getting mad about when I was hearing about the homeless buildings, or, you know, the building low cost housing for homeless. Yeah, it was over $500,000 for the
each unit.
Each unit was over $500,000, which gets you some acreage in Kansas.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just for fun, because, you know, I've been looking at houses, and now doesn't seem like a great time for California. But I was like, just to torture myself, what could I get for $350 in Kansas City? I'd live like a king.
Yeah, so the much. Mayor's mansion.
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So moving on with other COVID changes, little tweaks, all the networks, all the game shows, everybody has to tweak a little bit so they can get back on schedule. And that also goes for Wheel of Fortune. They're going to start tweaking things. You'll notice a few changes when it returns on Monday. And their protocols are basically going to be testing contestants, spacing everybody out. The contestants have to stand 6 feet away, so they're going to have to do some camera magic, and there's going to be some big giant screen. But the thing that you'll probably notice the most is each contestant has a spinning cap. What's a spinning cap?
Oh, they're all touching the same wheel?
Yeah, a little pouch they have to put over their hands so they can spin the wheel without freaking everybody out. And that's probably the most you're going to notice for Wheel of Fortune, except obviously no audience.
In the pantheon of shitty toys from my childhood, they had something called a sit and spin.
Yep.
You just sit.
And you turn the thing?
You just turn this knob. Well, the knob didn't turn. You turned around it.
Oh.
The knob was like stationary, and you just turned yourself. You turned you around this knob, which is, I don't know. I don't know how long that could have lasted. And by the way, if your 7-year-old is really enjoying the shit out of the sit and spin, like, where's Tommy? He's spending hours every day just going in a circle. You got to get that kid some counseling. There's an issue there. Like, there is something deeply broken and emotional about that. But yes, they had the sit and spin, which also kind of looked like the wheel of, kind of looked like the wheel spin. I think it was like kind of, was the sit and spin, did it look like the rainbow spinner when you lost your connection on your computer?
Oh, like the little beach ball.
Was that the little beach ball spinner? I'll let
they still make these, so I'm looking for an
They
older
still
one.
Make them?
Yeah.
Isn't sit and spin an insult? Like, sit and spin.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
I think they'd say sit on your thumb and rotate.
Oh, okay. So that was shorthand sit and spin.
It was a more aggressive version of take a long walk on a short pier. Yeah. This is more you violating yourself rectally with your thumb.
Got
so it was a little more aggressive.
Oh, there it is.
Yes, I have seen people give the finger and say sit and spin.
Right.
Sit and spin, sit and spin, kids just love to sit and spin.
Hey, look, he's having fun.
They join in, spin.
Oh, I never saw that.
Oh.
New kids.
They do everything with this weird, this weird military cadence they do all the time back then.
With the whistle.
Kenner's sit and spin. You put it together.
By the way, this just got worse. You put it together.
Maybe don't mention that.
I got bored of that activity during the length of the commercial. That's not a good sign. You know what I mean? Like, most shit makes it through the end of the commercial before I get bored. Those kids look bored while shooting the commercial. How fast did that fucking wear off? Unless you're, like, training to be an astronaut or something. I'm going to shit and I'm just going to go in a circle.
Gary just texted me the Urban Dictionary for sit and spin, a polite way to tell someone to go fuck themselves.
There you go.
Good name for a children's toy. Keeping Up with the Kardashians is finally coming to an end. The family voted to end the reality show with their 20th season. That'll arrive next year. Kim also made it very clear that there will be no documenting of Kanye's mental health issues. And instead of they're going to focus on the rekindling of Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson, they're going to focus on the return of Rob Kardashian, and they're going to keep the cameras off Kanye. Why are they ending? Well, a source told TMZ there's a lot of reasons, but
no,
mostly,
they've run out of film. Right. Yeah. I mean,
like to keep going.
If they could make money doing another season, they'd do it. They must be out of the product that they used to capture it.
Also, talk about working smarter, not harder. Their social media makes them so much more money that it's not worth it to do the TV show. When you have hundreds of millions of followers and you get $1 million per, you know, post about, you know, take this green tea shake, why do anything else?
It was funny. I was watching my TMZ last night and they were breaking this story and they showed a picture of the opening of season one. I guess it was a season one. Everyone looked young.
It.
Oh, we do. Okay. It's kind of mind blowing, especially the whole Caitlyn Jenner.
That's exactly why I wanted you to see it. If we could put up the picture, and not even Caitlyn, look at little Kylie, who looked like a regular little girl from anywhere.
She only had one implant back then.
Do we have it?
Like any 7 year old.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thin lips and freckles.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it up.
She had my first implants. Right. All right. Well, let you pull that up. Let me hit Madison Reed, Mr. Here, Max Pata, please. Working from home. Yeah. Notice some of that gray kicking in on them video calls. Madison Reed, they make a great product. Gina knows about it, and Lynette knows about it. And they make just a really good product for women. And then they were like, well, if this works well for women, then why not a product for men? Thus, Madison Reed Mister was born. Gray blending, natural color. You can use it in your hair. You can use it with your beard. You can go online, look at the before and after shots. They don't have the shoe polish look. I use it. You just put a little dab in your hands. You rub it in. You put the activator in after that. Get the right color off their website. Let it hang in for about 10 minutes or so, and then just rinse it out. Get rid of some of that salt. Put in a little pepper. Very natural look, and everyone looks fantastic with it. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com, and use code Corolla for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
The picture showing is not the picture. It's not the one I was looking at.
Oh, this was the promo shot from the first season.
Yeah, the one I had was like the opening, probably from the actual opening of the show.
It was very sort of Ozzy and Harriet. And like the girl. And Kim's the wacky one because she's so fucking full of personality. She's like running around and they can't catch her. And it's like, oh, she's the wacky one.
How long did that last?
Yeah.
It was several seasons. As one who's been tortured by the show for years, it's several seasons.
I've never seen it.
It's also weird in that they're Armenian, you know what I mean? And we don't have a lot of, like, the culture isn't very, you know, we love black culture. We have all the black icons and sports people and Barack Obama, LeBron James and stuff like that. And then there's different cultures and different versions, but it's really, it's Armenian. It's not, I mean, you know, Mark Garagos, I don't know. Casey Kasem? It's not really like oh, or the Armenian, like we love that, you know. It would seem like a tough sell, like originally, and it just goes to show, look, if people are good looking, we'll watch. I think that's kind of the story. Yeah, the opening Maxipad of like season one, not the promo shot, but just the opening role where, yeah, it's kind of Ozzy and Harriet. Yeah.
Well, while he's looking for that, I can give you the update on the Jerry Lewis telethon. I don't know if you saw that on TMZ already.
No.
Taking over for Jerry Lewis, it's going to be Kevin Hart.
I thought Chris D'Elia was going to do it this year.
He was.
I don't know. That might have been scrapped.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that seems queer.
Kevin as a ringer, maybe. So the telethon to fight muscular dystrophy, which was hosted by Lewis until 2010, is coming back for a 2-hour event on October 24th. The Muscular Dystrophy Association announced that it will now be called the MDA Kevin Hart Kids Telethon. And everyone will be on it. Eva Longoria, Michael B. Jordan, Jack Black, Usain Bolt, Josh Gad. And they'll raise money for both the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation and Kevin Hart's charity, Help from the Heart, H-A-R-T. It'll be streamed, of course. Jerry Lewis, any guesses on when Jerry Lewis, what year he did the first telethon?
Oh, God. 1971.
70. I don't know.
66.
Wow. Yeah. When I say Jerry Lewis, what do you think? Just sort of first thoughts.
Angry?
No, Nutty Professor. You know, that's what I, hey, ladies.
I think what about the last interview?
Yeah. What after that, Brian, our secondary thoughts?
Yeah, the telethon. I mean, later in life, he was a little cranky. He had the swollen head and all that stuff. So first, you know, called wacky comedies and then telethon.
I think so. I think we're angry old guy. I think and that's why, you know, you have this whole body of work and then you give some shitty interviews at the end and then you leave. You know what I mean? I mean, I think of telethon. I think Nutty Professor. I think all that. But I also think, oh, that guy was angry. He was mean, you know. And I'm like, why do I have to think that? I shouldn't know that. You know what I mean? I should know he's the telethon guy and the Dean Martin.
Yeah, Martin Lewis.
Martin Lewis. That's what I know that. But I also know, oh, he was an angry douchey guy.
All right, clear out.
Right.
Clear
like,
out.
Like, why do I know that? I shouldn't know that. All right, Max Ratty, there's no opening to the show?
There is. Yeah, I was just waiting for you to get to finish that story.
Watch that card.
All right, we're ready.
No, you're ready. Here.
The wind, you guys, is necessary.
The whistling thing.
No, that is not cute.
Yeah, go on.
I need someone to make me laugh.
Where's Kim?
Kim is Skinny always Rob. Late.
Oh, where's Kim? Oh, she loved doing something
crazy. Oh, she's so crazy in front.
Stop. Enough.
Yeah, is that...
We're done.
That final picture. Yeah, they look... Everyone's a little kid and Bruce is Bruce. Bruce is a dude.
The lips are a natural ratio.
Yeah. Crazy. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Simply Safe, and then we'll get to the sports. Most home security companies trap you with high prices and tricky contracts and lousy customer support. There's only one no-brainer, that is Simply Safe. There's two eyes in there. Simply Safe, everything to protect your home, an arsenal of sensors and cameras for every room, window, and door, tailored specifically for your home. Hop online, figure out all the components you need, shows up, peel and stick, batteries last up to 10 years, professional monitoring day and night, ready to send police, fire, medical professionals, set it up in under an hour, and Bob's your uncle, just $15 a month, no hidden fees, no contracts, no pushy sales guys. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure that they know that our show sent you.
All right. We'll take a break and we'll come back and do all balls with Jeff Cesario right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Chet Waterhouse with the BetOnline mini update, sponsored by the Marianas Trench Coat, featuring the deepest pockets in the business. NBA playoffs. Houston Rockets guard Danwell House under investigation for allowing a female COVID-19 testing official into his hotel room. Said House, ain't no laws against swabbing. NFL, Dateline San Francisco. Babe canned wine is the official wine of the San Francisco 49ers. It comes in Grigio, Rosé, and there's something else in this can. Oh, God, it's a mouse tail. And finally, the Atlanta Braves beat the Miami Marlins 29-9, setting a modern era record for scoring in a night, previously held by Leonardo DiCaprio. This mini update sponsored by Airbnb. It's not an app. It's just a crowbar. Take it away, Jeff. Well, thank you there, Chet. Let's dive right in our top stories and get Bald Brian riled up. The San Francisco 49ers indeed have an official wine. It's called a Babe. It is a canned wine in the Bay Area. Maybe the only place where an NFL game is on a par with a High School Musical sing-along at Hollywood Bowl. They're bringing wine to the football game. Hey, no word yet on what the San Francisco 49ers official brie is. to this point.
I don't know why, but I'm picturing the brie head, like the cheese heads.
Melting.
In Wisconsin, well, you know you're a Wisconsin guy, but I'm saying if you want to make fun of if the Packers are coming into town and they want to make fun of the 49ers, they should go with the brie head, like the white wheel, yeah, up there.
Wheel.
Also, I was thinking about the score. I think the baseball score was like 29-0. And they'll the one thing that is crazy about baseball is it goes back to like 1889 or something. And they'll go, there hasn't been a score that high since the Boston Bean Eaters,
yeah,
played the anymore. And you're like, what the? There was a team called the Bean Eaters, and then you go, of course, yeah, they're called the Bean Eaters. It was 1919, and then you go, but wait a minute, for them, it was 1919. We're modern times. Why'd they have to give themselves a horrible name? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're like, oh, they're all dead and they didn't have an education. But I wouldn't have signed off on Bean Eaters when I was alive. If I was alive in 1923, would you?
Well, it's snappy. You know, you got to admit.
Yeah, but the call Eaters is, I don't know.
The not terrifying. Eaters?
I get the Niners are like looked at as like, you know, the fans are, you know, wine drinking, cheese eating. We're having a good laugh about that. But for God's sake, they're right outside of Napa. Like San Francisco's, you know, an hour away. Like could we not get a good wine with like Stag's, yeah, Leap could be the wine. But instead it's some fucking canned bum wine.
Bum wine. What year did the Bean – how long did the Bean Eaters go on for?
They went on, so it was the Red Stockings into the Red Caps, then in 1883 to 1906 they were the Bean Eaters, followed by, then they turned into the Boston Doves.
Not
intimidating.
You go from Red Stockings, which is weird because what are we, transvestites? Yeah. Like with Red Sox.
That's something different back in the 80s.
Yeah, and then we went to the Bean Eaters, and then we went to the Doves. Like
the peaceful, beautiful Doves.
Was there less, yeah, intimidating animal than, you know, I mean, whatever, you name yourself the Tigers or the Bears or the Badgers or something, the Doves?
The Dove is literally the mascot of peace around the world.
Someone raises their hand in the clubhouse like, Lions is still available.
How did this, like, I'd like to be a fly on the wall with the Doves and the Bean Eaters and the Stockings, you know. Boss, how about we go with, what do we got? How about rice cakes? No? Nothing? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, bean curd. The bean curds. Could we be the bean? No. We need an animal.
There, done that. No, too clever? Okay.
Kittens.
Yeah, or tree sloth. Kittens, sure. Tree sloth. What about them? What about something that naps all day?
Yeah.
Single
cell organism like an amoeba, perhaps?
Yeah. Oh, dust mite. Is that something people know about? Or
now we're getting somewhere.
Oh, pubic crab.
Something everybody does, like pork chop lickers.
Oh, masturbate like or
sure, skin rubbers.
Yeah, I'm out of ideas. What if we just named ourselves like, I don't know, the Stillwaters or something or tap water? I don't know. I can't come up with a good name for our baseball team.
What are you eating over there? What are you having for dinner?
Beans.
Beans. You're eating the beans. Hey, bean eaters, lock it in. Go home.
Bean eaters.
We're done.
Yeah. All right.
San Francisco, it's like the Bear.
Well,
like
hold on. I don't want to add this, but later on tonight, I am going to eat pussy. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Get back to us when you do.
Yeah, I'm not
saying put it at the top of the list, but just make sure it's on the list. That's
back
all.
To red stockings.
That's right.
It's like San Francisco got all the artsy fartsy genes. They're like twins. And Oakland got all the bow hunting while drunk genes. It's just like, I don't know. It feels like that divide is very clear between those two cities to me.
Oh, that's a very interesting point because we started, I've never thought about it, but we did start the show off by talking about how glam rock gave way to grunge. You know what I mean? And maybe not a coincidence that the most refined gave way to the most barbaric, but they're the closest in proximity. Maybe all the sort of over the top Oakland Raiders, bad boy, you know, Black Hole. I kept saying Black Jungle or something, but the Black Hole. All that. Maybe that is a reaction to like you folks sipping your Chardonnay over there. Like, because they are as close as you can get sort of geographically and as far apart with in terms of how they carry themselves. Maybe that is just like literally, you know, it's like, I don't know, the young girl who grows up in the prim and proper, you know, Christian household who's going to date the bad boy, you know, like maybe they were created by that.
It's interesting. Chris should look up when the Black Hole came about because the Niners became the Niners, you know, around 1980, 81.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, after the Bean Eaters and then they turned into the Doves, we're talking about the Braves again. Then they became the Rustlers after the Doves.
Oh, well, that's more like
started heading down that road.
What do you want to go? Okay, we've been the Bean Eaters, we've been the Doves, we've been the Stockings. Should we go with the Pacifists? Or how about the Microaggressors?
A lot of cattle rustling in Boston at the time, so that one fits. I understand that.
All right, let me hit Bet Online, by the way. The wait is over. Football is back. We are up and running. A lot of good games coming up to on Bet Online. Sunday games, we got the Seahawks versus the Falcons, Packers and Vikings, Dolphins, Patriots, Buccaneers, Saints, Cowboys and Rams. Bet Online gives you more options to bet and wager, and then any place online. I went on Bet Online a few hours ago. I put five large on Johnny Weir.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
Hey, man. I had a front row seat to Christy Yamaguchi, so I put five large on Johnny Weir on Dancing with the Stars.
The Gooch.
So you want to get in on the action, I would suggest heading over to BetOnline. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. What else we
got? BetOnline ad for BetOnline.ag, sponsored by Semi-Gloss Paint. Let some other sap risk it all on glossy. Houston Rockets guard Danwell House. He's under investigation for potentially allowing this female COVID-19 testing official into his room. It's looking like now he may be cleared. Tyson Chandler, also of the Rockets, may also be in some trouble. They're investigating this. So apparently now, if you want to be an NBA groupie, and who doesn't, right, Gina? Right. I mean,
sure,
that's where all the action is.
Right.
Here's what you have to do. You have to be hot. Still qualify as a COVID-19 testing official. Convince hotel security that midnight, medically necessary time to test. And then when you leave at like 5:43 in the morning, you had some sort of Q-tip emergency or something. I mean, clearly this is an excuse for banging, but they're pulling it off somehow. until this slight slip up by Danwell House.
Does anyone really know what the bubble is and how it's laid out? Like, obviously, there's a court to play all the games. There's got to be practice facilities or two official courts, I guess. There has to be. I mean, what really does it entail? Does it have a movie theater? Does it have a tennis court? Obviously, it's got a gym. Obviously, it's got a buffet. Are people all heading down to the cafeteria at a certain point? Are they bringing in, Jody Maroney sausage sandwiches? Can you bring in? Are they ordering stuff and bringing it in? Is it room service? Like, where are the wives? I know, like, the moms and the wives are now showing up for the playoffs and, like, being in the audience. Does your wife stay with you in your room? Is she quarantined if she comes in? Like, they just kept saying they're playing in the bubble, which sounds good, but I'm kind of curious, like, what the lay of the land is. Like, where do you go? And has LeBron James been physically inside of this for a month and a half now? Like, literally? Mm-hmm. And so no one sets foot unless you need hot wings, but nobody, unless there's a funeral or something like that, nobody's.
Yeah.
That steps outside of the bubble. Is LeBron James's kids coming into the bubble? Like, I just keep hearing the bubble, but there's got to be a little more to it, right? Like,
yeah, I would say that I'm sure the guys are looking up the actual rules of the bubble as we speak. But, you know, it's locked down tight because it's in Florida. What could go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine guys are I'm sure there's some tunnels under the bubble right now that are bringing
like
in what
how,
the guys really.
You know, what do you think the acreage of the bubble is? Like, how is it involve this?
Well, Disney has a ton of land, and they built this massive ESPN sports complex there, at which they had sort of all-star high school football games for the scouts to watch, and all their giant award ceremonies are down in this huge facility with these. They've got, I think, two or three, essentially, 3,000 seat basketball type arenas. They've got practice fields that they can change into performance fields for football. They have a massive complex down there, and they've sunk a ton of dough into it. How they're enforcing these rules and what these actual rules are, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm sure they have been circumvented. If you've got people going, hey, if I just dress as a COVID-19 tester, I can get in. I'm sure there's other ways to get in.
I wonder, so like LeBron James, will this take him? Does he see his wife, or does his wife stay with him, or do his kids come to the game?
Well, for the playoffs, they allowed each player to bring in like two people that they want. Mm-hmm. And they have to know them. They can't be like social media contact or anything. They have to be like family members or very, very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're watching the games now, you kind of see.
Yeah, they get tested.
Right.
They come into the bubble.
Yeah.
They don't have to quarantine, I guess. They can just get tested and come into the bubble. But how long has this bubble been going on? I mean, you're asking some of the richest, most powerful guys in the world to sort of not
lock it down,
be around their lady friends for an extended period of time.
Yeah, when did they crank it up? June, guys? I think it was June, and they finished the season starting late June. They finished out the season, and now they're into the playoffs. I think if they want to enforce this for real, any violation of the bubble, just get Commissioner Adam Silver, who looks like a frightening golem type. Just have him show up at your hotel door. Your wiener's going to wilt in a heartbeat if that guy knocks on your door and goes,
dressed
is there
death,
a tester
bro.
In here?
Yeah.
With a scythe, he's dressed as death, and he just points at you.
Yes, he has a very Nazi war criminal kind of look to him.
Adam Silver?
He's got a lot of like, whoever was like the dental assistant in Marathon Man. I don't know, somebody's teeth were being tortured. I don't know, find it.
Dustin Hoffman.
Okay.
Yeah. Hoffman was in Marathon Man, right. And
there's no way you want to watch this scene.
No way. No,
you do not want to watch this. I don't know. You don't want to watch teeth torture.
I don't like teeth torture. I'd rather watch the double anal penetration of Gina.
DADVP. Yeah.
Suggest.
If you do this better stuff on teethtorture.com, I'm sure by now.
I'm just asking because I don't know. Is there a glory hole in the bubble? Can we get our junk outside of the bubble and get a handy?
Right on the border of the bubble, literally through the glass of the bubble.
Passerby.
That's right. So how long has everyone been in the bubble, Maxipatis?
June. Yeah. So
beginning of June or what of June? June's got a number of days in it these days. They're always putting days in this. But like if it's the beginning of June, it's another. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's the very end of June. Actually, some of the scrimmages started at the beginning of July, so around the very end of June. Yeah.
So it's been a couple months, right? Is that right? In July, August, yeah. Well, it's coming on to 2.5 months, right? It's been a while.
Yeah.
All right. Stuff.
That item sponsored by Psychopaths, the app that finds the craziest hiking trails. Psychopaths. Now, if we have the time, let's touch quickly, because I know you're a boxing guy. Canelo Alvarez filing a $280 million lawsuit against Golden Boy Boxing, which is Oscar De La Hoya's. Oscar De La Hoya himself and TV packager DAZN over breach of contract. The 160-pounder, considered the best pound-for-pound boxer out there. Sticking point is this clause requiring a quote-unquote premier fighter for Canelo Alvarez to fight. They got the unbeaten Billy Joe Saunders, the unbeaten Callum Smith, but DAZN doesn't think they're premier because they don't move the TV needle. So they want Canelo Alvarez to fight, hey, Oscar De La Hoya. They honestly do, who's 47 and has not backed away from the dessert barge lately either. So they're looking for numbers, and they may be trying to corner him into the one guy who could do it, which is Gennady Golovkin.
Triple G.
Because he can move the needle. And this would be their third bout, sort of the triumvirate between the three of them. They're also looking at MMA guys from UFC. They're looking at Jorge Masvidal and Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
But these guys are more, especially Khabib is more of a wrestler than a boxer. So they're clearly just looking for something to jump the numbers up to a million buys. And Canelo Alvarez, who's 30, you know, his prime is for boxers, you know, what, a couple of years maybe before he starts to seriously go downhill.
Well,
he's looking for
the
big
Murder
fights.
Madoff.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. They last
the
longer.
Murder Madoff.
Thank you, Gary. Everyone lasts longer now, just like, you know, you seemed when you were a kid, any of your parents' friends at your age now seemed really old. Now you don't feel that old.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just wearing flip-flops and cargo shorts. You know what I mean? It's like, and boxers and athletes are, you know, look at the NFL. You got your, Aaron Rodgers and Brady and guys like that. You have guys who've been in the league for a long time, all still playing at a high level. So, you know, it's not what it used to be in terms of age. The lighter weight guys don't last as long as the heavier weight guys. Heavier weight guys can go to 40 or sometimes even a little beyond. The lighter weight guys, because when you're lighter weight, you rely heavily on speed and not power. And the power doesn't really go away, but the speed does go away as you get past 30 and into your head toward 40. But, you know, after watching Conor McGregor fight Floyd Mayweather in a very competitive bout, who's to say that some of these MMA guys couldn't put up a fight with a boxer? And it's true, guy like Khabib does a lot of wrestling, but they are getting much better with their hands, and they're tough as nails. Like, they're used to being punched. Yeah. With a oven mitten versus an 8 or 10 ounce glove, which you wear in boxing. I mean, those what they're wearing are like gloves or cycling gloves, basically the gloves you'd wear when you ride a 10 speed in the '80s. You know, that's what MMA guys are used to getting hit with, and getting hit with an 8 or 10 ounce, probably an 8 ounce boxing gloves. It's got a lot more heft there, so there could be some good stuff. Triple G. is pretty amazing, but those guys have fought twice already. You know, Tyson's coming back at 54. He's fighting Roy Jones is probably 50. I don't know, 52, 57. I don't know if Roy Jones is a little older, I think, you know.
Roy Jones is that old?
51.
Roy Jones is younger than Tyson. And so Roy is 51. Tyson's 54. They're coming back. They're also starting this, like, old man league for everything. I think they're going to do tennis. Yeah. They're going to do boxing. They're going to just have these guys you remember from the past come back. I hope they do it with porn stars. We get Ron Jeremy sprung. Sure. We have
Old-timers Day.
Old-timers Day. Hey, Randy West is holding up nicely. So
yeah, that'll take a long time, that porn film.
Yeah.
Guys over 60. It's going to take a long time.
So, be interesting. Canelo, I think, is his name red? Like, is Canelo red because he's a redhead, or it's got something to do with that? I don't think that's, I think they just call him that. Like they call a, like that would, like we'd call like a red haired guy Rusty, even though his name is Herman. Is Canelo's a nickname or something?
That's a nickname.
Yeah. Canelo's red or something? Or he has some.
Cinnamon.
That's what it is. So cinnamon. That's Russ. It's actually kind of nice. Like he's a cinnamon. We do English do ginger. Mexico does cinnamon, and we do rusty, which kind of says our culture. You know what I mean? Like we fucking put it. We're right on point with it. Like it's refined to do ginger. Cinnamon is a more poetic version of that, and we just do rusty. Did you guys grow up with any rusties?
No.
I grew up in the Rust Belt with Rusties. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an older thing. If you had a red-haired guy, it was just called Rusty. He was called because he had the red hair. So Canelo is cinnamon, that's right, and he's got cinnamon hair. I don't know.
I would think...
He's good-looking, by the way.
He is. I would think winning 280 in court is still got to be easier than fighting for 280 mil.
Even for
a guy like him, he's going to get 35 mil, maybe 50 mil fight.
Yeah.
Still 5-6 more in your ass, you know, getting pummeled and having to get in shape. And
he's a real kind of old school kind of blood and guts Mexican fighters. You know, different cultures have different themes to their fight. And the Mexicans like body punchers, and they like guys who just trade, you know, just get their heads bashed in. And he's kind of old school that way. So I don't know. Maybe we got a good picture of Canelo. Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a pretty guy. All right. Let's see. You got a segment there.
Oh yeah. I'm sponsored by Eyesore, the festival for ugly hot air balloons.
Eyesore. Sorry, you broke up a little. That's funny. Like Eyesore, a festival for ugly hot air balloons. That is funny. All right. Max Pato, what are we doing here?
I think it's time for the Bet Online line.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
All right, we're doing this. It's time for the Bet Online line. Look out. It's Bet the Farm Friday. That's right. Your team, your karma, your bet, all four of you clowns. Your team, your home team, we're going to give the line and you make the bet. And then we're tallying it up.
Gosh.
This coming weekend in the NFL, Bald Brian, your San Francisco 49ers at home versus the Arizona Cardinals. 49ers favored by 7. You taking the Niners or the Cardinals?
Oh, that's a tough one. No home field advantage, no fans in the crowd. Arizona is upstart. This is second year under Cliff Kingsbury, and they played well last year, not great. I expect them to take a leap, and I expect the Niners to regress a little bit. So you know what? I would take Arizona plus 7.
Arizona covers a lot. Wow. They never do that well, but they're competitive. And they got, what's his name, new wide receiver from the Texans.
Hopkins.
Yeah, so there might
They're going to be a force, at least offensively.
I think so. All right, what else we got?
Lock it in, Gina. Kansas City already played, so your team now this week is the Chargers at Cincinnati. At Cincinnati? Maybe. Chargers favored by 3 over the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. And if it may help, the Chargers colors are blue with a lightning bolt. And then the Cincinnati colors, they have that kind of a tigerish helmet
You know, take the home
Bengal
team.
Stripes.
Yeah, I like that. Which one's the Factory of Sadness?
If you could just say that in the one of those sisters' voices, one of those
the Kardashian
impression you do. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Well, I like to charge everything, so I'll guess I'll just take the chargers because that's what that's for, right? With that old ka-chunk credit card thing with the charge card.
Yeah.
Okay, the chargers. I take the chargers.
Yeah, the Packers. Packers right. Favored by 2.5. Oh, brother.
Jeff's busting up. Hold on a second, Jeff. What do we got? Me. We got the Rams and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Rams
favored
plus
by three. The Cowboys
favored by three. Oh God, it's so hard. The Cowboys are good. Rams are good. I guess this is why they do the spread. Yeah, no home field advantage, but I guess you don't have to travel. I mean, you don't have to get on an airplane. That's got to be good for something. I don't want to be that guy. It's the first game of the season. I'm going to go ahead and take my Rams to cover. Or not to cover, but to, well, take my Rams and the 3 points.
Perfecto, that Bet Online line sponsored by Pandemodium. Get rid of your diarrhea in one chaotic blast with Pandemodium.
All right, let me hit Bet Online one more time. And like we said, football season is up and it's running. Lots of good games. Going to be very excited to see how this pans out. BetOnline gives you more options to wager in any place online, from games to spreads to totals of prop bets, championship futures, and more. So just head to BetOnline and do it today. Take advantage of all the great season-opening bonuses. And again, you can do a little UFC. You can do some boxing. I just did Dancing with the Stars. Why not? It's all there. Visit BetOnline.ag, exclusive partner Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's bring it home, Jeff.
This is Chet Waterhouse for All Balls, All Sports, reminding you to play with pain.
All Balls, All Sports, presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
All right, I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv in Arizona coming up on Friday, Saturday, September 18th and 19th. John Holmberg's going to come out on stage with us, and then Rob Schneider for the second show for a live pod, and then I'll do stand-up after that. Also, Salt Lake City, October 2nd and 3rd as well, Wise Guys, and you can check out our YouTube channel if you like and see a bunch of free stand-up there. Also, I'm your emotional support analyst, available on Amazon and wherever. Write a review. I shall read it. I want to thank Gina Grad and Bald Brian and Jeff Cesario and Jordan Harbinger for joining us today. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. If you'd like to leave us a message, the phone number is 888-634-1744. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get it now. Get the link at adamcarolla.com.
And before we get out of here, one more thanks to Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? What do you do? Do you want a bundle? Well, you own or you rent. Or you got to have insurance. You got to have auto insurance. Bundle it. Make it easy. Save money. Let's get it under one roof at Geico. At geico.com, get a quote. See just how much you could be saving on your homeowners and your rental insurance when you bundle. That's Geico, geico.com.